Morning, we're going to read a passage from the book of Hebrews, and we're going to read the first 11 verses of chapter 12 in Hebrews. So, hear then the word of God. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and maybe I should just say the context by that, the author is referring to a whole bunch of people of faith in Hebrews 11 that's often called the Hall of Fame of Faith. So that's what he's, that's the context there. So therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set out before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? And if you are not being disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." And so far, the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, in the past, I did a lot of running to stay physically fit, and in many ways, it was a favorite pastime of me. Ever since I was a boy, I grew up on a farm, and I would just run everywhere, run to the back of the farm, and running, it was just something that came naturally to me. And when I started having too many evening commitments, especially as a pastor, I decided, you know what, I'm going to get up early in the morning and I'm going to go for a good run. And so I'd jump out of bed, put on my shorts and my shoes, and I'd enjoy a brisk run in the fresh morning sun. And it was great until I developed a painful case of shin splints. And I'd never had that problem before in all the running I had done. And the doctor then encouraged me to change my approach to running. You see, I wasn't warming up properly so early in the morning. So I just got out of bed and just started running. And so I had to do my warm-ups. And after that, the shin splints disappeared on me. Now, Hebrews 12, the passage we just read, also talks about running. It encourages us to run the race of life. And it encourages us to do that with the proper attire and with the right attitude. We can't just start running and hope that everything turns out all right. We need to run with the proper goal in mind. Now, as I said when I, just before I read the passage, Hebrews 11 follows the well-known passage of Hebrews 12 follows the well-known passage of Hebrews 11, often called the Hall of Fame of Faith. And there, Hebrews 11 talks about a whole bunch of heroes of faith, people like Abraham and Noah and David and a whole bunch of the key people in the Old Testament, and how they lived their times in the Old Testament, lives marked by trials and unfulfilled promises. And they staked their whole lives on these promises of God, even when those promises didn't always make sense to them. And having finished then the race of life, they took their seats as spectators for the races to follow. Now Hebrews 12 says that we now run this race of life surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. And in this race of faith, we must not run with anything that hinders us, says the author of Hebrews. Now, in biblical times, their attire was like a long flowing robe. And imagine trying to run in that long robe. It wasn't the best thing to run in. And so what the author of Hebrews is basically saying, if you don't tie those robes up somehow, you're going to be hindered from running very fast or very far. It's kind of like running a race today. Helps to wear suitable sportswear designed for minimum weight and maximum comfort. Hebrews 12 verse 1 says, "Let us throw off anything that hinders and the race that so easily entangles." In other words, strip off anything that slows you down in the race of faith. Clear the track of any hurdles that might threaten to trip you up. So what kind of hurdles might that be? Colossians 3 verse 8 says, "You must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, malice, slander, lies, and filthy language from your lips." Galatians 5 warns against sexual immorality, idolatry, hatred, jealousy, selfish ambition, dissensions, envy, and drunkenness. Those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God, says Galatians 5, verse 21. Instead, says Hebrews 12, verse 2, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith." You see, Jesus has already run the race of life. Jesus has stood against every temptation to sin. And more so, Jesus overcame the power of sin with his shameful death on the cross. And now Jesus sits in glory at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. But you know, Jesus doesn't just sit there in the stands like the rest of the cloud of witnesses. Jesus now runs beside us. Jesus now runs beside us as our coach. Jesus runs beside us as our pace setter. And through his Holy Spirit, Jesus now encourages us to clear the hurdles of sin that regularly entangle us in our lives. And as we keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, Jesus is the one who keeps us from giving up when the race of life becomes difficult. See, the author of Hebrews acknowledges that if there's anything that challenges us in our faith, it's the troubles of life. It's the pain and the suffering that we experience. That's what often trips us up the most in the journey of faith. You see, the hardships, the troubles of life, they often lead us to question our faith. We start to ask, where is God? Where is God in the midst of my pain and the struggles of life? And in the midst of those challenges, we might even question whether or not we are even one of God's children or not. Hardships of life can sometimes even tempt us to drop out of the race of faith. Now, the readers of the book of Hebrews had those same kinds of struggles. They experienced a severe kind of persecution for their faith in Jesus, something that we don't have in this country. We can live our faith quite freely, but the readers of Hebrew, they were sometimes even killed for their faith. It was a daily challenge for them. And so they were tempted at times to drop out of the race of faith because of these hardships. And the writer of Hebrews encourages them to keep their eyes focused on Jesus, like that of a runner who keeps their eyes on the finish line. Look at what Jesus has already endured, how he shed his own blood on our behalf, how he suffered more than any of us ever will. Don't give up, says the author of Hebrews. These sufferings of life, they're only temporary. Someday you will be with Jesus in heaven where there will be no more pain, where there will be no more suffering or hardship. As the Apostle Paul writes in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 and 8, about a life marked by suffering, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness. That was the hope that enabled Paul to press on to the finish line despite some of the hardships that he experienced in his life. But there's an even deeper reason why we experience suffering in this world, says the author of Hebrews. Just as God used Jesus' suffering to endure our forgiveness, or to ensure our forgiveness and our salvation, God uses suffering, God uses hardship and the troubles of life to perfect our faith in Jesus. You see, when our muscles get fat and flabby, it happens to us sometimes as we get older especially, we don't last all that long as we try to run in a race. Unless our muscles of faith get stretched through continual exercise, our faith remains weak and immature. When life treats us like fancy crystal, our faith shatters easily. But when God allows us to get kicked around like a soccer ball, our faith starts to roll with the punches. The painful questions of life are often used by God to toughen our commitment to Him. Now, granted, I don't think there's any one of us here this morning that enjoys having hardship in our lives, right? We don't appreciate God's faith-stretching exercises. We'd rather have a life of clear sailing. Let the good times continue, right? Now, the Christian life is a lot like that of, say, for example, an Olympic athlete. There's no glory for the athlete without a lot of discipline, without a lot of training leading up to that final event. And the chance for a gold medal makes all the struggles of the training worthwhile. In that way, the writer of Hebrews encourages us to see the hardships of life as God's discipline. Notice I didn't say God's punishment. It's God's discipline. There's a difference between the two. Discipline is something that we learn. It's a learning process. Punishment is what I said. It's punishment. We need to see that distinction between the two. But in that way, then the writer of Hebrews encourages us to see the hardships of life as God's discipline. And don't make light of what God is doing for you. The Lord disciplines those. The Lord trains those that He loves, says verse 6. In other words, God knows what's best for our lives. Now, some of us might be tempted at this time to say, yeah, some encouragement, right? Most of us, we often find discouragement in our times of suffering. And here now, he says we need to find encouragement through our suffering. Give me a break. Nothing discourages my faith more than the pains and the hardships of life. I see my hardship more as a punishment or a curse than some form of encouragement, right? And the author of Hebrews acknowledges that. That's easy to, to feel that way. As he says in verse 11, no discipline feels pleasant at the time. In other words, we need to look at it over the long haul, much like the way that small children or teenagers react to discipline. Why do mom and dad need to be so strict and unreasonable, right? They want to have the freedom to do their own thing. That is, of course, until they get themselves into a pickle, into a bind, and then they scream for mom and dad to rescue them, right? We might not like to think of it that way, but that often typifies our relationship with God. Like the teenager who bucks their parents' discipline, we buck the discipline of our Heavenly Father. We don't like having God telling us what to do. We like to think that we know it better than God. Thanks, but no thanks, God. We like to do things our own way without any restrictions in our lives. Like the loving parent, God says, you might not see it from my perspective, but hopefully someday you will. Just trust me. Trust me to do what's best for you with this discipline, with this training that can seem so unbearable at the time. Your earthly father might sometimes make mistakes when he tries to correct you. But you need to believe in faith that your heavenly Father never makes mistakes. That he always knows what he's doing. Because God only disciplines us out of love. Even in our deepest pains, even in our deepest struggles, God still always does what's best for us according to his redemptive purposes for our lives. As Romans 8 verse 39 says, nothing, absolutely nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Now, those of us who are parents, we know that, you know, corrective discipline is of course a necessary part for the development of our children, right? And all the timeouts, all the lost privileges, they teach us to be more responsible in learning to be responsible in our lives, to deal with the challenges that we face in life. And so in that same way, all the adversities of life, things like illness or persecution, emotional, relational, financial struggles, none of these things are pleasant at the time, but they equip us for our lifelong journey of faith. As verse 11 says, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who are trained by it. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 5, verse 3 and 5, we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. So what the author of Hebrews here is saying to us, don't be so quick to buck God's discipline. Don't miss out on what God is trying to teach you. It's God's way of letting you know that you are one of his children. Because the author of Hebrews says that illegitimate children are denied the discipline and the coaching that true sons and daughters receive from their fathers. Illegitimate children receive no claim for God's spiritual inheritance. Discipline is a privilege that God extends only to those that he loves. And we see that in the Old Testament, where the people of Israel continually acted as if they could do without God in their lives. And time after time, God allowed them to become miserable through the hardships of foreign oppression. And in their misery, they would cry out to God for God's help and protection. And time after time, God would graciously get them out of their situation. Someone has said, the grace of God will set you free. But first, you have to be miserable. Let me repeat that. The grace of God will set you free. But first, you have to be miserable. Hardship is a painful surgery used by God to keep us humble. Because it makes us realize that we can't do without God in our lives. God uses the painful experiences of our lives to teach us to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. And God sometimes allows us to get knocked to our knees to correct our lack of faith. To make us realize that we can't work our own way into God's good books. That our only recourse is to lean on God's grace for our spiritual well-being. And in the process, God tests us to trust in His obedience, to trust in His faithfulness, to trust that God will provide for us even in our weakest moments. God uses our pain to compel us to evaluate our lives in a new way, to consider whether or not we are truly seeking first God's kingdom in our lives or whether we're focused too much on the treasures of this world. It's God's loving yet firm way to encourage us to keep running the race of faith in His Son Jesus. Now you might think, is it necessary for God to use such drastic measures to keep us in line like that? And it's more necessary than maybe any of us realize. Because our natural tendency is to buck the influence of God's Spirit in our lives. Our natural tendency is to want to be in control of our own lives, to do our own things. And we might know on an intellectual level that we're saved by God's grace, but on a practical level, we try so hard to stay in control of our own lives, including our own spirituality. We don't naturally allow God's Holy Spirit to have free reign in our lives. And all too often, it's not until we experience some real setbacks, some real troubles in our lives, that we learn to ask God to renew us and to fill us with His Spirit in a fresh new way. In the midst of our struggles, in the midst of our down times in our lives, we learn that God's grace is sufficient to meet our natural human weakness. And still, a word of warning is necessary for a passage like this. To think that, you know, God's discipline is necessary in people's lives, we can't start to act like Job's friends, where we are then too quick to tell someone else who might be struggling with pain or hardship in their lives that we are the ones to say, listen, God is disciplining you in your life right now because you need to change a few things in your life. That's not for us to say to another person. That's not for us to decide what God might be doing in someone else's life. It's often difficult to see God's hand in the midst of our pain. All too often, that comes a whole lot later in our lives. Kind of like the teenager who doesn't understand the reason for their parents' discipline until some years later. And suddenly, some years later, the teenager realizes, Mom and Dad, they weren't that dumb after all. And when someone suffers, don't be so quick to speak to them as if you have all the answers for them. It's better to sit quietly with them in their pain and to assure them that we love them and are there for them and that we're praying for them. Because that will strengthen our connection with the person who's hurting deeply in their lives. And if you are the person that's undergoing some real struggles or hardship in your life at this time, don't be so quick to shrug it off or to try to brush it under the carpet. We need to reflect on what this pain is doing to us. We need to reflect on what God wants us to learn from some of these struggles in our lives.
that we ask, how is God with me? How is God present with me in the midst of my pain and hardship?
And for us as God's people, it's also important to know that it's okay to ask the question, why? Not that we ask God why God is punishing us like this, but that we come to God and say, God, is there anything that's nagging away in my soul that's weighing me down like this? Is there some unresolved anger or bitterness about a certain event or person that's at the root of this hardship in my life? In other words, what does God maybe want me to learn from this deep struggle in my life? Now, such soul-searching, it might not solve all of our problems. It might not take the pain away. But it does help us to experience God's presence in a fresh new way. And even when a body or a relationship stays broken, we can still experience a deep inner healing with a renewed sensitivity to God's love and God's grace in our lives. Now, I think most of us would rather identify with Jesus in his success. But the truth is, we identify with Jesus most fully in our times of pain and suffering. We take comfort in knowing that our Savior suffers with us. And in that knowledge, we receive a unique measure of his grace. As Jesus was made perfect through suffering, we face the possibility of growing closer in our relationship with Jesus that's unavailable to us apart from pain and suffering in our lives. Hardship is never easy, but it's part of God's master plan to transform our lives to be more like Jesus. Revelation 3 verse 19 says it's God's way of keeping us from becoming lukewarm in our faith. John 15 says it's God's way of pruning us to become more fruitful as his people. It's God's way of giving us a tune-up to keep us more in line with his purposes. It also enables us to experience the joys of life more deeply. But most of all, our pain forces us to focus on God's promise of an eternal life without pain and without suffering. And until then, we continue to run the race of life by fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you know how none of us likes to experience the hardships and the painful things that we go through in our lives. You know how we all prefer to have clear sailing. You know how we just want to have the good times continue in our lives. And yet we confess, Lord God, that too often we ignore you as God when life is going well. And too often it's only through the times of pain and hardship in our lives that we learn to fix our eyes in Jesus in a fresh new way. Heavenly Father, enable us by your Holy Spirit not to give up when the race of life gets too difficult for us. Help us to look to your Holy Spirit to encourage us and to teach us how to respond to you in a deeper and more meaningful way. Help us to remember that nothing can ever separate us from your love and your care for us in Jesus. And help us to trust, Lord God, that you have a master plan to work out everything for your good purposes in our lives. Help us, Lord, in that way to just experience your grace and your love in a deeper way. And help us, Lord, also as a body of Christ to look to people around us, to see the people that are struggling, the people who are going through pain and hardship in our lives. And Lord, show us how we can support them, how we can encourage them, how we can pray for each other in our mutual journey of faith. Lord, we want to do that. To be the body of Christ to each other. And Lord, help us also to in that way, reach out to people in this community who are struggling, to show them the hope that we have in Jesus, and to show them that that ultimately is what gives us the hope of carrying on each day in our lives. And so we pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.